This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bin. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
It was a chance for him to take a season and reflect back on all those different styles that you're going to see in different environments you're going to be in, and play styles from defenses, and then come back and had a great year last year, obviously, and is looking to build off of that this year. He's always been an exceptional passer. You know, he was the MVP. Every time we've played him, he's difficult to deal with. So I don't look at him like, wow, he's better. He's always been top notch. But they've got a lot of players that we've played many, many times before, and they're all back, you know, and so you try to get a good understanding of the personnel and how they use it in their scheme, and then formulate your plan. Pretty good. You know, we'll see early in the week where T's at, but he was out there today in the walkthrough and looked good. He was doing all the stuff in the walkthrough.
That's Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, talking about some various subjects relating to his team as they come into Baltimore Sunday night, taking on the Ravens. Both teams 2-2. Cincinnati's 1-2 in a row. Ravens coming off yet another frustrating loss to the Buffalo Bills. But talking about T. Higgins, a little bit banged up.
Mm-hmm.
One of their premier receivers, and they have a bunch at their disposal. And he's got the size, he's got the speed, he makes those contested catches. So T. Higgins, you know, he's a valuable part of their offense.
Really good complementary piece, you know, to Chase is what he is. And Boyd. I mean, they got three perfect fits, you know. You got Chase on the outside that can go. You got Boyd on the inside that's your physical guy, can get open. And then you got T on the other side, who's a good number two, a big, big target, you know. So, I mean, they got good combination.
Also, talking about Lamar Jackson, what Lamar does and the brilliance that he brings to the equation. And, you know, he is an MVP. He's having an MVP caliber season. We'll get to the film study at the bottom of the hour. And it wasn't all that great based on the first three games against Cincinnati, or against Buffalo, rather, but played well in spurts. But in the second half, the Ravens really struggled to generate offense. Mm-hmm. He did throw the pick in the end zone. And Vinny, you're going to dissect that particular play.
Right.
Because at the time, you thought it was a good play call.
Yep.
But execution did not go well, mainly because the offensive line didn't do him any favors. But through four games, we talk about the MVP candidates in the NFL. Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. But Lamar, he's in the conversation.
Well, I mean, Bob, a week ago, he was probably the leader.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he was
the
player of the month, you know. And we said he and Josh Allen, you know, it was kind of between those two going into the game, and Mahomes. You know, and Mahomes had a spectacular day, and Josh Allen came from a 20-3 deficit and won the game. So, I mean, right now, I mean, if you had to pick it today, it's either Josh Allen or Mahomes, I would think.
But Lamar's having a season.
Oh, no doubt.
Where he keeps stacking. He's going to be, and I've said all along, he'll be in the top three of the MVP voting when it's all said and done at 22. But point is, Zach Taylor recognizes that Lamar Jackson can be a one-man gang and can win games by himself.
Well, he has to, and he has done it.
And he's done it against them, Cincinnati, before.
Yeah, and Bob, even more so now. I mean, let's just say Bateman's not playing, Justice Hill's not playing. I mean, hell's bells, you know. Lamar got to do it all.
Also, you heard Zach Taylor talking about Joe Burrow And, you know, the Ravens confounded him his rookie season in 2020, where they were just scraping along to kick a field goal to avoid a shutout. Then he gets hurt in the Washington game.
Right.
But last year, boy, did he get revenge or what?
Oh, boy.
He destroyed the Ravens. He almost threw for 1,000 yards combined against Baltimore's defense.
The one that's, you know, the one here, I mean, I want to say the Ravens just took the lead in the third quarter. Yeah. You know,
and Hollywood caught the touchdown pass in the end zone.
And then Chase on 3rd and 8 catches that slant and goes, what, 90 yards or whatever, and then game over. Then it was on for the Bengals. You know, so that was another one where, you know, they didn't play 4 quarters. And their tackling was pitiful, you know.
Well, here, to give you an idea, the first game here in Baltimore last year, 24th of October, and the Ravens, you know, were kind of, you know, doing their thing a little bit at that time. But he throws Burrow for 416 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Chase has 201.
Right.
In the second game, no Lamar, and the Ravens were kind of you know, barely keeping a heartbeat going for the playoffs. Burrow says, how about 525? And T. Higgins, how about 194 in receiving yardage? How about that? Then the next week, by the way, against Kansas City, Burrow throws for 446, and Chase had 266 in receiving. So they were kind of cooking all cylinders by that time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, well, they were on their, you know, like 2012, like the Ravens run. That's what that's the same thing that happened to them. You know, I mean, were they the best team? They were the hottest team at the end, just like when the Ravens won the Super Bowl.
So Zach Taylor discussing things and finally talked about the Ravens defense and the change in coordinators wink towards Mike McDonald. But Jared Taylor talking more about the personnel and the position groupings and, you know, because it is a different look personnel-wise in a lot of areas for the Ravens this year compared to last year.
Oh, yeah, especially in the secondary, you know, is the biggest. And then, the secondary is the biggest one just because they have the pieces back. You know, otherwise up front, fairly similar, you know, you know, always there and always getting better, I think. But the linebackers are kind of what kills them, you know, Bob. I mean, they played the two linebackers a bunch in this last game. I mean, I think they were playing them instead of playing Hamilton and Pepe.
Yeah, they barely played.
Yeah, they didn't play a lot. You know, I think I saw Hamilton, like, back deep in cover two, like, one time. And otherwise, he's kind of playing like a linebacker. And, you know, he had coverage on the tight end for Buffalo number 85, played some man coverage on him, you know, and did a decent job.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear from your favorite female artist or band? I'm guessing someone's going to pick Loretta Lynn. You have to pay tribute to her. Passing away yesterday at the age of 90. So if you feel free, feel free. Orioles got rained out last night. It was, however, even though there was no game, and quite frankly, they should have canceled that thing way earlier than they did because you saw the forecast. It's going to rain all night long and just stop raining here. But it was a good night for us because me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, along with Nolan, got to do a final show. So it was the end of our season for Baltimore baseball tonight. We got to say goodbye to everybody at Pickles for the year. Hopefully the people at Odyssey will see fit to bring us back in 2023 because we know how, you know, sometimes finances fit into their decisions.
Well, let me just say this, Bob. I mean, I've listened to that show a lot, like when I'm walking, 6 o'clock. I think it's an awesome show.
Brilliant programming.
I think, well, Bob, the guests that you have on, extremely knowledgeable. Great baseball knowledge.
You got an Oriole Hall of Famer. You have Blue Blood, Ripken, and Bill. And, of course, Jim Hunter was the 25-year voice of the Orioles. So we were bringing some heavy heat in regards to the expertise. So even though the game was canceled, we did get to do a final show and not get rained out in regards to our programming and Tom and everyone at Pickles. It was awesome. Look forward to seeing you. Hopefully I'll be stopping down. I don't get downtown Baltimore much, I gotta be honest with you, unless I'm going to a ball game or doing the Ravens. We'll be at the Horseshoe coming up on Sunday night.
No.
You know, I grew up in Baltimore. Been there, done that. Live in a county now. I'm a county guy. do my county stuff.
And you clean your own windshield.
Yeah, and I don't like driving. Can't see out of one eye, so I like to stay in walking distance the most I can here in 2022. But thank you. Thank you, Pickles. Thank you, Tom. Thanks all of you down there who made it great for us. But anyway, Orioles two games today, taking on the Blue Jays. No real import to either game. Orioles are guaranteed above 500. Toronto's locked in as the number one seed in the wild card, or the number one wild card. We already know the playoff matchups. Everything starts on Friday. But two for the price of one. So we'll have some day baseball for you starting at 12:30, and we'll keep you up to date on the score of the first game. Mike Bauman pitching for the Orioles, then Spencer Watkins in the nightcap. Nick Vespi was called up to be the 29th guy. No, Grayson Rodriguez. And quite frankly, I'm extremely cool with that.
Yeah, if it was 75 and sunny something.
Mid-August, bring it on.
Yeah. But, Bob, you know what's going to be interesting is, okay, which game does Toronto play all their guys? Because you know they're not playing both because they play on Friday. So in one of the games, Bob, it's going to be like, who's that?
Yeah. You know? And it would you blame them?
No.
John Schneider?
And you know what?
You're stat padding and that's all you're doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, like Aaron Judge says he's going to play in a game because he's got to get 3 hits in this game to win the batting title, and the dude from the Twins got to go 0-for.
Yeah, Rice.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah, but Aaron Judge, we'll get more into this during the whip, and when we talk to Bill Ripken at 11, he hit a 60-second home run. Before we get to the break, where do you stand on the home run king? Is it Barry Bonds with the 70? Or 70, was it 73? Because I think McGuire hit 70, right? You know what's unbelievable? I've been watching baseball since I was born. I think when my first words were Frank Robinson. I came out saying play ball from my mother's womb, and I can't remember what it was.
73.
There you go. See? I can tell you what Al Bumbry did in 1975, but I can't remember what Barry Bonds did.
Bob, you know what? I mean, like, to me, that was exciting when he did it. McGuire, to me, and Sosa, when they were having the back
right,
and forth.
But it's all spoiled by performance. Juice. And yeah. McGuire's basically admitted he did it. Sosa never has. Bonds had the cream rubbed on him, but he didn't really know at the time what it was. Here's my view. I always look at Hank Aaron as the home run king, and I guess Aaron Judge as the single season.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion to editorialize. But for the record book, all the record, and it's an inanimate object, by the way, it's not a person. The record book, you just keep stats. And in the record book, Barry Bonds is the guy until somebody passes him, whether you agree with the way he did it or not.
Right. And you know what's funny, Bob, is my buddy who was at the Twins for like, I don't know, 30-some years, he says, you know, because he was around my age, and he was at the Twins from forever. And he says the transformation of Barry Bonds' body was unbelievable from, you know, beginning to end. How much bigger. And all of a sudden, he shot up and got so much bigger.
Well, he always had 30 home run power.
Yep.
And he was 30-30 guy perennial. He was a brilliant player.
No doubt.
But, yes. Hey, look, my body's transformed, too. Is there steroids in beer? Huh? No? Because my hat size has gone up a couple since 1992 myself. But he went from being like a sleek,
yes,
slim, athletically gifted guy to like this behemoth.
Yeah.
And he went from hitting 30 home runs that were 400 and some feet. He was blasting them 550. I mean, I know he changed bats or whatever. I know we're running like sorry, Norm. But yeah, there was a difference. And he got older and he got better. That's...
And his neck was like...
But that's the difference, Vinny. You don't get better as you get older. You lose bat speed. You lose timing. But anyway, Aaron Judge, he went yard. Aaron Judge, how much money is he going to get in the offseason? Is his market value higher in New York than it is anywhere else? We'll get into that and more. You want to join us, you can. Ravens, 3-point favorites, taking on the Bengals. They're back at practice today. John Harbaugh is going to talk with the media. Lamar's going to be there. And we're going to preview all of that here on The Fan.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing this is Loretta Lynn.
You guessed correct.
Is this Coal Miner's Daughter?
It is not. I thought about playing that one. This is You Ain't Woman Enough.
Oh, you don't have to insult me. I just asked who it was. You don't have to get personal over here, Norm. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear? Favorite female artist or band? Send your request to the Plaza Ford text line. And Nolan McGraw is going to play it for you. Bill Ripken, he'll be joining us top of the hour. Talk about the Orioles offseason that will be starting tomorrow and preview the playoffs. The wild card round is set, and we'll look at some of the matchups like Buck Showalter taking on Manny Machado.
Nice.
It's going to be an interesting, that's a whoever wins, I'm cool with series.
Now, is that one of the series, Bob, where all the games are in New York?
Oh, they're all in New York.
Yeah.
And then it's Toronto will be playing Seattle, and all the games will be in Toronto.
It's 2 out of 3.
Then it's Tampa, Cleveland, and then Philly and St. Louis.
I'm for Philly on that one. Who do you want with the Padres, Mets?
I don't care.
Yeah,
I mean, I just said I don't care who wins. Either one. I'll be rooting for them to advance through the playoffs as it's good. And I like the Cardinals a little bit as a National League team. American League, you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I was born into it. Anybody but the Yankees. I don't know. Kind of getting sick of Tampa, though. They're starting to wear thin on me.
And I don't want Cleveland to make a run.
You don't want the Guardians to make a run?
Yeah.
Why no Guardians?
I don't know. I've never been a Cleveland baseball. I've really never rooted for Cleveland in anything.
Not even the Cavaliers?
No. Even when LeBron was there, I liked him because it was a cool story, but nah. No. I you know what? Like those sports that I don't really I root for people. You know, that's what I root for, not teams.
All right, let's get out to the phones because people want to talk about what's happening with the Ravens. Ravens back at practice today. 3-point favorites against Cincinnati, even though the Ravens have lost 5 in a row at home. 2 heartbreaking losses at 22. Cincinnati pulled their pants down here last year. Ravens still getting some love by the odds makers. Well, basically, they're getting the 3-point home field advantage. Let's go to Bel Air. It's Rob. Rob, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, let me ask you, Bob.
Yes.
When a one-eyed Bobster is watching the game with his Pop Blue Ribbon beer.
Mick Ultra.
Yeah, I know, but I had to.
I'll drink a Pabst if I have to.
Yeah, I'll have to throw that in. Do you ever sit there when you watch the game, like most of our fans, when they break the huddle, it always looks like Lamar is looking at his wristband for like 10 seconds or something like that. And then they're always snapping the ball with almost 1 or 2 seconds. Are you yelling at the TV too? Come on, snap it, snap it. Come on, Lamar, snap it.
I think it's all depending on what circumstance the game is in. As long as they get the playoff in time, whatever, roll with it. But we've seen the Ravens have to burn timeouts before because clock integrity there can be somewhat compromised. And when's the clock turn off with the green dot?
Right.
I mean, so
15.
So you would figure that the communication has been made as clearly as possible. So, right. You know, I'd like to see the Ravens go a little bit more up tempo in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, maybe that would benefit them. But to your point, Rob, I don't start melting down unless it costs them. You know what I mean?
I think Lindebaum, you know, would like them to get to play in and out a little quicker, too, because I think what happens, he knows he's a smart dude. He knows that clock's on zero, you know, and he's snapping it. That's why he hit likely on the one, and I think that on the start of the third quarter, I think that was a similar situation that, you know, he's like almost rocking because it's like, come on, it's zero seconds.
Right, and the last thing, Vinny, because the Ravens have been so sucky in the second half, I guess not the New England game. They did score on turnovers. But when you're not scoring points, we can blame the defense all we want. But how wouldn't you go to maybe a no huddle? Maybe with Lamar's speed and everything, you said it best. He plays best when he's playing street ball.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like in the second half with his speed and everything else going on, why not get that defense tired so they don't substitute? Yeah, I know we have to worry about our defense getting tired if it's a 3-and-out or whatever. But they have to do something besides what they're doing because everybody seems to be figuring out. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the biggest thing, I mean, they had three drives the second half, you know, and to me, it's about execution. They had the plays. Bateman had a chance to have a long touchdown if he gets a slant route, you know, and then they get the touchdown if the tackle's blocked. You know, they've got situations where they could have scored points in the second half, but they didn't execute. First half, they executed. They had shorter field, you know. And what happens is, you know, Buffalo's playing cover two. They're playing soft coverage and playing underneath, and everything says, you know, we don't think that you can go 10 or 12 plays without screwing up.
And they had the one drive, 9 minutes, 90 yards, and ended with Bupkis.
Yeah.
The ultimate killer in the game.
But I mean, Bob, let's talk about execution. They're down on the 1 yard line, second and one. Morgan Moses misses his block. Boom. Now they're on the four. You know, now what you could run on the one, you can't run on the four. And then, you know, you got guys running wide open and they're not blocking. So the play call was fine. The execution of the plays was bad. That's the problem is they couldn't, you know, and who would have thunk that you come out to start the third quarter and you're first and 15 before you even snap the ball? You know, so you're behind the eight ball right there. And, you know, guys weren't, and we'll talk about the film, Bob, but I mean, they weren't. There wasn't a lot of people running open.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, do that film breakdown. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We will get you later on in the hour. Bill Ripken, preview the MLB playoffs, which start on Friday with him. And the Orioles offseason, what needs to happen for the Birds to get higher up in the pecking order of the American League, the whip around 11-15. Aaron Judge made history last night. And Antoine Littleton, running back, University of Maryland, coming off a big performance against Michigan State last Saturday. Terps hosting Purdue coming up Saturday afternoon. 12 o'clock kickoff. You can hear it on the Fan. Maryland favorite looking to go to 5-1.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's film room on 105.7 The Fan.
Well, we're a couple of days after the fact. Ravens losing. Buffalo blowing a 20-3 lead as the Bills come in here and improved to 3-1 on the year. Ravens dropped to 2-2. A lot of frustration with the fans, the players. You saw Marcus Peters, and I'm sure others involved in said game. Well, Vinny's had time to watch the film. What went right? What went wrong? Let's start off with the offense in today's film stud.
Let's start with the offensive line. Let's start with left tackle with Daniel Falele. He got help most of the time. A few plays at the end of the game, he didn't. And, you know, he did a decent job against Von Miller at that time, and Von was not like cranking it up at that time. But the thing with Daniel is that he still needs a lot of fundamental work, a lot, you know, and I think he's got a chance to be a good player. He just got to learn how to use, you know, quit bending at the waist, kick better with your, get a bigger first step with your left foot so you can get back out of your stance, and then have some punch. He's got these long arms. You know, so I think he's got a chance. He just needs help on every play. Against a good pass rusher, he cannot block him, you know, one-on-one all day long. It ain't going to happen. Now, Morgan Moses, he didn't play good this game. You know, he got plays tall. You know, he's got those skinny little calves, and he did not put his foot in the ground and anchor in there. He got driven back into Lamar's face time after time after time. You know, and that last drive, he was the killer, you know, in that last drive. Because when it was on the 1 yard line, they're running. They hand it to Dobbins, and he whiffs. His guy, you know, totally comes free, blows up Ricard and Powers pulling, and then they lost 3 yards. And then on the wide open play to Duvernay on the fourth down, he got pushed right back in and couldn't see it. You know what everybody said? Well, Davis was wide open. Davis was wide open. Well, the problem on the left side there, Falele, he got beat by number 90 right off the get-go, and that dude, Lamar, couldn't see him either. Powers did a decent job on the pull. I sent you the clip, Bob. He pulled one time. Best I've ever seen him do it. Normally he gets clogged up in there, you know. And then with Linderbaum, feel kind of bad for Lindebaum, you know, on the snaps, just because I think what he's doing is he knows the clock's done. You know, it's 3-2-1, and he's like, you know, come on. You know, so I think that's it. His holding penalty, you know, I think it was caused by a Lamar scramble, and he just kind of reached out, which, you know, he didn't even need to with Lamar, you know, because that dude ain't going to catch Lamar. Zeitler's just kind of steady Eddie, and Moses had a bad game.
Well, let's get back to the play. You thought it was a good play call at the time. You've watched it on film. Do you still stand by that assessment?
Yeah, and everybody says, oh, you should have put, Lamar on the move. Why? Bob, I showed you the Duvernay couldn't have been more wide. For a play on the 2-yard line, he was open by 10 yards, standing by himself, jumping up and down. And, you know, Lamar's, that's where he's going. That's what they worked on in practice. That's the play that G-Row wanted. They got the coverage. They got exactly what they wanted. G-Row's probably up there, makes play call. They break the huddle, and he goes, we got it. We got what we want. You know, we got what we thought we'd get. You know, Duvernay's going to be open. Boom. And he's wide open. That dude, you know, Lamar couldn't see. That was the biggest problem was, you know, Moses. And then, like I said, everybody says, oh, Davis was wide open. You couldn't see him. I mean, that dude would come free right down the chute at him. So that wasn't going to work either. I still think there's a huge, huge difference between Dobbins and Justice Hill. I wish they'd give Justice Hill all the plays that...
Going to have to wait a couple weeks,
yeah,
it looks
but
like.
But I'm just saying, like, just comparing the two, Justice Hill looks like Dobbins his rookie year. And Dobbins looks like Ingram when Dobbins was a rookie. I mean, he just doesn't have – right now he doesn't have the burst. He's not who he – does he run hard? Absolutely. He runs hard. He's tough, all that. But he can't get through there. He can't make the runs. Bob, on that last drive when they went, 9-minute drive, getting him out of the hole was Justice Hill. A lot of it he was creating on his own just
where
because –
he pulled up lame on that drive, right?
Yeah. Like the first two plays, he busts through there. And he and Lamar are the ones that can bust through there because they got burst and explosiveness. You know, and that's what I see. You know, the biggest difference in the running backs, that's the biggest thing. Now, with the passing game, what hurt in the passing game was because you got to help both tackles. You know, you got Oliver there. You got Dobbins. And you got Ricard. Those three guys. And then you got your two or three receivers, all right? The two receivers go out. The other three guys got to help. They got to chip or they got to help the tackles. So, and Harb said it in his press conference, and when you watch film, you can definitely see it. Because, I mean, you can't get your running back into the route. You can't get Ricard into the flat right away. You can't get Oliver out right away because they got to chip. They got to help. And then all of a sudden you're running, you know, a two or three man route and they got seven guys back there because they don't need to blitz. You can get there with four with them. So that was a huge problem in the passing game that there wasn't a lot of guys open. And that's why, you know, you say, oh, Lamar, you're holding the ball. They weren't open. And Bob, let me just say, I watched all of them. And even like Andrews, they did a phenomenal job, whether they had number 30 to corner Jackson on them or Poyer or Hamlin. They did a phenomenal job on him and the linebackers in their zone drops. Phenomenal job. You know, Edmonds and Milano, they're so disciplined in their drops and they understand, you know, what they're supposed to do and who's trying to get open and where they're trying to get to. And they did a phenomenal job. I mean, Andrews only had like two catches. And let me just say, the catches he made were contested. He didn't run open. He wasn't running. There was nobody running wide open. The best route run was by Bateman. And it was on the play that the 3rd and 8, the second series in the third quarter, he sets the corner up. I mean, because he's in the slot. And he goes out and then comes back in. He's three steps ahead. You know, could Lamar have made a better throw? Absolutely. I mean, he had to stretch to get it. But like I said, Bob, I saw Stephon Diggs do it twice in that game. You know, wet ball, he reached behind or whatever and made the play. So if you want to be number one, you got to make that play, because if he makes that play, it's third and eight. He makes that play. The corner's not catching him. The guy who was over him, no. He's got one-on-one with the free safety, and he's got pretty much the whole field. You make a move, you got a chance to go. You know, I mean, that's how close things were.
So offensively, you would grade them how? They didn't score in the second half.
No, I know. You know, they inconsistent because they beat themselves. I'd give them a C.
It's 58 Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about the defense later on in the show. Film study-wise, but when we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Orioles wrap up their season today. Doubleheader against Toronto, 12:30 first pitch. We'll keep you up to date on the score of that game. Bill Ripken joins us top of the hour. Talk about the Orioles offseason, because that's going to be very important. It's liftoff, as Mike Elias says, lifting off to where? How do they get to where they need to be? We'll talk to Bill about that and preview the playoffs. Obviously, whip around 11:15, and then Antoine Littleton, running back Maryland. He had over 100 yards, scored a touchdown in every game so far for the Terps. 4-1 on the year, getting ready for Purdue as 3-point favorites. You can hear that game on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Bill Ripken joining us top of the hour. Talk some baseball with him. Regular season ends today. Playoff matchups are set. We'll preview that with Bill and talk about the Orioles. We already know the season that was exceeding all expectations. Now it's all about the offseason. What are you going to do to get better? Because you're in the American League East. Now you don't play everybody 19 times anymore. You play everybody at least once, 13 times. But Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, all playoff teams. You know, Boston's got deep pockets, so they're going to compete in the offseason with everyone. So you can't just stand pat and expect just to get better. Now you can. Rutschman's going to be better. Henderson's going to be better. Hayes will be better than he's been this year. I would assume Mountcastle will be better than he's been this year. Grayson Rodriguez is going to be part of the equation. You're going to get John Means back, but you still need to add when you can. You've got a fertile farm system, and, you know, chips are assets. You might not need to spend a ton of dough on free agency, but you dangle some of these highly valued trade commodities, and you might get what you want. So we'll talk to Bill Ripken about that and more. And then the whip around at 11:15. You don't want to miss that. Let's go to Randallstown, bringing Rodney. Rodney, what's happening, man? Happy Woman Crush Wednesday.
What's going on, gentlemen? Hey, I want to throw a hypothetical out there at you guys, man. And I don't, it's not, like I said, it's not anything to throw anything bad at the coaching or anything like that. But my hypothetical is that with this same group of roster or personnel characters that we have on the Ravens roster, do you guys think that if we had a coach, a veteran coach, not none of the new guys, but a veteran coach, say like a Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, given our same roster, and this is strictly based on decision-making, do you think that those coaches' philosophies, based on their decisions, you know how they say Bill Belichick, he takes away your, you know, your greatest asset and, you know, make you beat him another way. Could these coaches, would these coaches maybe have our team in a better position based on their philosophy, their style, and the way they go about coaching as opposed to our staff?
I would say no.
You don't think Harbs is veteran coach enough now? Yeah. 15 years?
He's won a lot of games.
Yeah, but his philosophy, Harbs to me is stuck in certain ways. I mean, it's like his decisions are, to me, is what cost us sometimes, whereas though, like a Belichick, he's going to scheme something. He, no matter how many much weaknesses that he has on his team, he's going to scheme up something to cover that. He's going to scheme up something to make you do certain things and things of this nature. Whereas though I don't see our coaches being able to do that. You guys assess it yourself. They don't adjust. So, I mean, in terms of that, just making decisions, not based on their history or their record this year. I'm talking about in terms of their decision making. Say, for instance, let me give you a quick example. Okay. Like Coach Belichick, when he had a decision to make between Tom Brady and what's the other quarterback?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Drew Bledsoe. See, he made the right decision and the rest is history. You go back to John Harbaugh and say the Chargers playoff game. See, he doesn't make that decision to say, okay, Lamar, he had two, three quarters. He's not playing bad. This is the playoffs. Forget feelings. Let me stick Joe in there and see if Joe can make a difference. Maybe we can go on and then we'll insert Lamar back in the game. That's what I'm talking about, those type of decisions, man. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Ronnie. Now, first of all,
I wouldn't have taken Lamar out of it anyhow.
Bledsoe got hurt. Yes. That's when Brady took over, and then Brady went on a heater.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco got hurt. Lamar took over. Ravens got hot. Lamar turned them into the best running team in football when they were the worst running. So John Harbaugh stuck with Lamar Jackson. The rest is history. I think John Harbaugh's built up a lot of equity here. He may delegate more to his coaches than Reed and Belichick do. But it's not like John Harbaugh, some novice, and the lights are too bright for him and circumstances are too big for him to improvise and adapt, even though he should have kicked the field goal.
Let me just say this.
Times out of 10, he should have kicked the field
goal. Nationally, you know, if you asked, you know, people in 31 other cities, would they like to have John Harbaugh as their coach? I bet you a lot of them would respect him. They like him. They think he's a hell of a coach. It's a great organization, you know, continuity. So I think, you know, the people don't appreciate John here as much as he's respected nationally.
All right. Throw out the counter argument. He's won two playoff games since they won the Super Bowl, and this is the 10th anniversary season of that.
Yeah.
Is that criticism fair?
Yeah.
And they were the best team at football 3 years ago and didn't make it out of the divisional round.
Hey, Bob, the year they were 14-2, you know, I mean, we had them playing the Chiefs. We didn't even talk about Tennessee.
It was the Kansas City, Baltimore. It was going to be the brilliant matchup they all wanted. And not only did they lose that game, they were coaching when they were down 10, like they were down 110 points.
I think they
panicked.
Yes, they did. It's fair, Bob. Let's just say that it's fair. 'Cause I mean, the results are what the results are, you know, and Harb's got to live with that. And so does Lamar. Lamar got to live with that too, because that's what everybody talks about. Lamar 1-3 in the playoffs
and the accumulation of talent. We can go there too. I mean, we're talking about them like they're already eliminated from the playoffs, but they should be 4-0. They're not, but they can make a loud statement Sunday night. But there are some challenges roster-wise that John Harbaugh has to deal with.
Yeah, and
I mean, what, two pass rushers coming into the season?
Two pass rushers, and they're on their fourth left tackle, you know, and, you know, you got to make adjustments because of that. But otherwise, they've got four linemen that have played the whole season thus far. You know, they just have the swinging gate at left tackle. They've got some concern. But let me just say this, Bob. I mean, when we talk about the deep, I thought the secondary, I don't think the secondary could have played much better. They were awesome this last game.
And we'll get into the defensive film study. Let's get one more call in here before we get to the top of the hour. Let's go to Kingsville. It's Gary. Gary, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How are you? Something I feel like that, and I've talked to other people about this, that's not talked about enough, is the crucial calls or non-calls by the officials that are major turning points in a game. Like, remember right in the second quarter when we were moving the ball down the field, or earlier in the first quarter, they took a touchdown away for offensive pass interference when Mark Andrews literally touched the guy with his middle finger, or little finger, whatever.
Yeah, he extended his arm.
Right, extended his arm, and it happens every – I mean, I watch these guys, these receivers – I looked at the Super Bowl last year when the guy threw the guy out of bounds and caught the ball, and there was no call.
Yep.
And if he touches him with his hand, I mean, barely touches him, and they call offensive pass interference. There's 4 points. And then right before halftime, when we're going down, it's 3rd and 8, and Mark Andrews gets tackled before the ball gets there, and there's no call. Yep. What happens, instead of it being 23-3, we have to punt, and it's 20-10. Major, major turning points in a game. There ought to be something where you, and it's just my opinion, that you could throw, you know how you throw the red flag? Well, if there's a call that's a blown call, you should be able to throw it, maybe have two a game, a yellow flag, that you want to question that call. Because you got to get it right. Baseball gets it right. Everybody else gets it right. Why can't football get it right? You know how many fans are so frustrated with the officiating that people in my section were getting up and leaving because of the officiating?
Did you see the Maryland game last Saturday?
the end of the first half there.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? This is a multi-billion-dollar business that they got to get it right. I mean, if you blow a call and you blow it, it costs the city a game, and you miss the playoffs by one game. How many hundreds of millions of dollars does that cost your city at the end of the year for playoff games? It affects the whole economy in the city.
Let me talk to you about what teams do. You know, about the officiating. You get the crews, you know, you get who the crew's going to be. And you evaluate the crew, as you scout the crew as much as you scout the next opponent. Because you've got, you know, I don't know what this crew does, but you've got some crews that don't call holding. Some crews call holding, you know, a ton, you know.
Yeah, they break them down percentage.
No doubt.
Who's most likely to do this, that,
right,
or the
so,
other thing.
And then you educate your players. All right, this week, you know, expect holding call. These guys call a ton of PIs, you know, so you got to be careful in the back end. No, they let you get away with everything. So you got to scout, and they do. They scout the officiating as much as the opponent.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know we're tight, and Bill Ripken's joining us here in a few. Pass interference is not reviewable anymore.
Right.
When they called that on Andrews' offense. In the Maryland game, it was a helmet-to-helmet, which was not. It was more – Maryland got a pick six if you missed the game, and then they called the Maryland player for a helmet-to-helmet on a crackback block, which was a terrible, terrible call.
Oh, my God.
Cost Maryland 6 points.
Oh, cost them – the game was over after that then.
Well, they still won handily, but it was a crap call is the bottom line. We'll come back. Bill Ripken, the offseason for the Orioles will entail what? And we'll preview the playoffs, which start on Friday. Matchups are set. Who's Bill think? He picked Toronto to win the American League before the season. See, he's still riding that train.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.